Wednesday morning, and as we now know, the New South Wales government has dropped its case against the Rail Workers Union in the Fair Work Commission. The decision to withdraw the case followed what Transport Minister David Elliott described as a full and frank meeting with the union officials. This is part of what the minister had to say yesterday.
Going forward, the government will withdraw the matter currently before the Fair Work Commission. Senior counsel have given that recommendation, which the government accepts in the interest of not only transparency but goodwill. I have agreed with the union that we will start to commence rewriting the enterprise agreement, which expired in May last year.
And joining me now with more on that is the New South Wales Secretary of the RTBU, and I've got to be careful here. I keep saying the Ram, Trail and Bus Union, the Rail, Tram and Bus Union, Alex Clarsons, who's on the line. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Richard, and to your listeners.
Well, if you were being paid by the word, you'd be a gazillionaire by now. You've done a bit of talking in the last few days, Alex.
I certainly have, but I'm very proud to be able to stand up and represent the members of my union. You know, it's a job that needs to be done. Workers have got to be allowed to have a voice, and I'm fortunate enough to be elected to be their voice. So I take I'm quite proud of that fact, and, you know, I do the job to the best of my ability, as we all do, of course. But it's been a very interesting couple of days. It's been it's really good, though, that it's now been vindicated that it wasn't the union that shut down the network on Monday. It was quite clearly a strategy to try and force the commission into abandoning or telling us to abandon our industrial action, and more importantly, for them to cancel our enterprise agreement, which would have been a whole new low because, as people would know, we've been taking industrial action in one form or another since September. And all the way through that, we have always tried to make sure that those people who've got no other way of getting around could still use our system. Hasn't been perfect. There's been sort of glitches along the way. But we only actually took two strike actions. One was an eight-hour one, which we took overnight, one night. We took everybody home and then shut the system down overnight. And we had a four-hour stoppage. This Monday wouldn't have been no different. There would have been some headaches for management. There would have been some disruptions. But they would have been able to run trains. And I, like many others, went to bed on Sunday night knowing that we were going to have a train service on Monday morning. And you can imagine my horror when I woke up at 5 a.m. in the morning to understand that somebody had pulled the lever and shut the system down. But then the worst thing was that they then blamed us, you know, and we had private companies like Opal out there widely promoting to everybody, we've shut the system down due to industrial action, and they actually named us as being the union. So we were obviously very frustrated, angry and annoyed about all of those things. And, of course, as we all know, you know, the early morning media stories was all about this horrible union that shut the system down. But all we've ever tried to do, because we work in the system, we care about the system. As most people know, I joined the railway in 1978 and I haven't left yet. We care about the job that we do. We love the job that we do, and we just want to be respected and treated fairly. And all we're trying to do is replace an enterprise agreement that expired in May. And this is the way they treat us, the contempt. And it's bad enough treating us that way, but treating the commuters of New South Wales the way they did on Monday, I mean, you know, somebody's got to pay account for that. Somebody's got to apologise, not only to the members of our union, but to all those people out there that were stranded everywhere on Monday. They talk about some bogus risk assessment that they used to cancel the action, to cancel the services. I still dispute that, by the way. We asked for that three times in the commission. They refused to give it. We tried to subpoena it. When we tried to subpoena it, within an hour, they cancelled their actions against us. So we doubt the veracity of any risk assessment that they're now running around with. It's interesting, too, that the last time we pulled back on some industrial action was on the 7th of February, where the minister directly intervened, sat across the table from us and says, what do you guys want? One of the things we asked for, and he gave us, was our ability to participate in all these risk assessments they keep talking about, because we know that those risk assessments are done in a back room by people who don't understand the operational network like we do. And we've said we want a seat at that table, we want to be part of the risk assessment process, and then later on we will accept the outcomes of that risk assessment because we're part of it, right? You can't complain about something you're not part of.
Sure.
And And interestingly, they're now running around with a risk assessment. Now, it'll be really interesting to see whether they did that after the minister directed everybody that we had to be part of it. But that'll be a question for him to ask, no doubt.
Are you surprised they backed down so quickly yesterday?
No, not at all, actually. I realised, I knew what the facts were, and I knew sooner or later that light would be shone on that and we would be vindicated, because we knew we had done nothing wrong. We had done nothing different. We notified of those actions that were going to take place on Monday, 2 weeks before that. Nobody said boo. Nobody complained. They all knew what was going to happen on Monday the 21st. The only time that anything was said different to that was when the Minister and the Premier came out and said, on the 28th of February, we're going back to a normal timetable. They said nothing about industrial action, so I immediately put out a media release, started doing media for people, saying, listen, you need to understand, we're still taking industrial action, so their great plans about going to a full timetable on the 28th of February as per normal has some cloud over it, because we're still taking industrial action. So our union has always been honest and transparent. Everything's out there for the world to see. Our website's there for the world to see. It's got our log of claims on it. Every step of the process, our members, our delegates, our public have been part of that journey with us. We have not hidden anything from anybody.
Right.
Now, so they had no choice. They had to withdraw their application because they would have been smashed, despite the fact, that they had 10 very expensive lawyers, all paid for by the taxpayers. And our one barrister who did a mighty job, talk about David and the Goliath, she did a fantastic job in there. And she, you know, we agreed to a set of words on that Saturday night. We actually withdrew some of the actions on the Saturday night in response to them saying we're going to have trouble on Monday.
Right.
We took two major actions off. We all walked out of that commission hearing, figuratively speaking, we were on Teams, on Saturday night, knowing we had an agreement and trains were going to run on Monday. So
right.
We knew that was right.
Okay, just for clarity here, so the services that were running yesterday, they would have been exactly what you would have run on Monday. Is that right?
Not quite, no, but it would have been a cobbled together, yeah, it would have been slightly different. What we put in place yesterday was the base timetable. Like, so effectively what happened yesterday, everybody was told to come to work and they just said, you get on that train and you keep going until you run out of time, basically. So it's very base form. It's pretty much like we used to do before we had computers, right?
All right, yeah.
You get a sign on time, you go to work, you show up to the boss and you say, which train do you want me to drive? And you get on it and drive it.
Okay.
So that's pretty much what happened yesterday morning. During the course of the day, schedules started dropping out, people started getting better instructions, and by the end of yesterday, despite all the storms and everything in Sydney, and we all know we've got a wet weather railway sometimes, everything went reasonably well. I got a message from the CEO last night. He's basically saying today that it's going to be better than what it was yesterday in terms of services. We've increased the services. We've got more people available. Everybody is out there like they were on Monday morning, signed on, ready to work. We all started work on Monday morning. Everybody showed up for work at Newcastle, Gosford, all those locations in your area, but also in Sydney, all the depots in Sydney. We had drivers, guards, station staff, cleaners, you name it, signalers. Everybody was at work, ready to work on Monday morning. And you can imagine hearing, oh, no, sorry, there's no train for you to drive.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Okay. My guest, Alex Clarson's the New South Wales Secretary of the Rail, Tram and Bus Union. Well, look, the government is saying everything's going to be back to normal, hopefully on Monday, but you're saying that won't necessarily be the case?
Oh, no, I think we're now at a point where we will do everything we can to make sure Monday goes back to as much as normal as possible, right? I'm not saying it's going to be 100% perfect, but I gave many commitments yesterday, and one of those was that our union, now that we've got some commitments for a decision maker to sit at the table, we got that directly from David Elliott himself yesterday. He said he will now personally intervene to make sure that we've got it. See, part of our frustration, Richard, and just to explain to everybody, is we've been negotiating this for months now. We've been sitting at a table with all these people, and they're all, you know, decent guys and girls, but they're not allowed to make any decisions because it's all got to go through all these various levels of bureaucrats in transport. Then it's got to go through three levels of government. So we haven't had a decision maker at the table, despite the best efforts of everybody sitting around those tables. We haven't had a decision maker. David Elliott's now given us that. So we are going to try and do everything. So we're going to, In the meantime, we're going to try and get the services as up as best as possible. We're going to continue to do that. We've still got our industrial action on at the moment.
Yes.
I have to say that because I haven't been given, we haven't been given permission from our delegates and our members. When they give me something in writing which I can take to our members and our delegates, we'll have those conversations and we'll try and work again to try and increase the services and do everything we can to do that. But I can fairly confidently sit here and say to you that given all the commitments from everybody, including myself, from Monday there will be a normal timetable, as it were, but there might still be a few hiccups because of the way we haven't ran a normal timetable, you might remember, since well before Christmas.
Yes.
When we made the decision before Christmas to modify the service because of COVID, we had hardly anybody on the system, and we had, you know, Omicron came along and started knocking us all over, and
yeah,
we had everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we just heard from the minister earlier saying that you're back at the table discussing a new enterprise agreement. Have those discussions commenced yet, Alex?
No, not at all. No, he gave us that commitment yesterday. And by the way, we haven't stopped being at the table, but the last time the management team came to the table was on the 3rd of February. They've refused to meet with us since.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our frustration. That's why we said to the minister yesterday, look, this can't go on. We deserve better. The public in New South Wales deserve better. Can you please go and kick some heads and make sure people start sitting at the table and start making decisions? Because that's all what we want.
Sure.
You know about those new trains that we bought from South Korea that are unsafe.
Yep.
There was another case where they used very expensive lawyers, taxpayer-funded, to fight us all the way through to the federal court. And we won that case. We know that train and its current operating model is unsafe. We won that case, but still, we still haven't got a decision from anybody about how we're going to fix that train. And again, the people in your area deserve a great brand new train, but it's got to be safe. We don't want people, you know, being hurt on our
system. Okay. Just specifically, what is it with this new enterprise agreement? What are the sticking points? What is it you're after for your membership?
Well, there's a range of issues, and again, it's on our website. We've actually got a log of claims there. It's 13 pages of the best reading you'll ever have. And yes, it's got a little bit of ambit in it. But, you know, key issues, like I said, the safety of the network. That train has to be fixed. We need that. We need a safe train. And the commuters in your area in particular deserve a better train than what we've got at the moment. They need new trains. They should get new trains, but they've got to be safe.
Right.
We're also trying to get some protections around privatisation. As people will know, this government, this Liberal government that's been in place in New South Wales, they've privatised everything. Everything around us is privatised. Rail is the last bastion of that hasn't been privatised. We're trying to get them to build all of our transport stuff. Newcastle should be building trains again.
Yes,
Newcastle could be building boats. Newcastle can do a lot of stuff, right?
Right. Yep.
We're trying to get that guarantee from the government. No more rushing overseas to Spain and buying. You know, our new XBT replacement trains are coming from Spain. The same company that made those light rail vehicles, the trams, that are now off the road in inner West Sydney because they've cracked bogies. Do you really want to get on one of those trains and travel over 100 mile an hour? So privatisation, contracting out is the other big issue. We've employed an extra 1,000 cleaners in the railways and the buses and the trams and the ferries to keep it clean because of COVID, but they're all contracted.
Okay.
No permanent jobs.
All right. Now, just finally, Alex, I think it was earlier in the week or it might have been last week that Mark Morey, the union's New South Wales secretary, said that this year will be the year of the strike unless the government meets demands for higher wages. Do you think we're going to see a lot of strikes from particularly frontline workers throughout 2022?
Look, I don't know whether it needs strikes, but certainly there are a lot of people very angry out there. You know, it was only a couple of weeks ago, or a couple, last week, I think. It's all blurring. The nurses were walking in the streets of Sydney. I mean, you know, we've got nurses, ambulance officers, fireys, policemen. You know, the public service sector has been restricted for many, many years because of this state government's bloody decisions around their supposed, you know, wages policy. It was only about 12 months ago they were saying you're only going to get 0.303% of a wage increase. And they went out and tried to tell our members that was a good deal. Now, right at the moment, Perrottet changed it, made it 2.5, but it's actually not 2.5, it's actually 2.04, because you've still got to pay for your own superannuation increase. We all know that CPI is running at more than 3%, right? So everybody out there is feeling the pain. Real wages haven't grown for at least 10 years, right? So, yes, it's true to say there are a lot of very frustrated people out there. And, you know, the politicians come out and say, oh, thank you for the essential services, are doing a great job through COVID. We've all gone through 2 years of hell, and we know lots of people have lost jobs, and, you know, it's been really horrendous. But coming out and saying, oh, thanks for the job, but then not actually recognising that workers need more money to be able to live, while they themselves continue to get themselves wage increases. Like you, we all know, and your listeners will know, that those politicians never went without a pay rise. All those senior managers and executives and all those people that are close to that process, they don't have to go to enterprise bargaining. They don't have to fight for their right to have a voice every 3 years. Like, it is just, look, the situation has got dire out there. Everybody is frustrated. You go into any hotel, you go into any barbecue, and all people will tell you is they're dying.
Yep.
We are being killed slowly. We're just being totally frustrated. People are working harder, longer than they ever have before, because, you know, you can't disconnect anymore. We've all got mobile phones, email. I'm sure you're working a lot harder today than what you were working 10 years ago.
Yeah, look, really appreciate your time. You're certainly working a lot harder at the moment, Alex.
That's okay. I'm proud to do it.
Really appreciate your time this morning, Alex. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Richard.
Good on you, Alex. Alex Clarsons, who's the New South Wales Secretary of the Rail, Tram and Bus Union.